Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Glovina Show. I'd like you to do me a huge favor. Could you please post, call, or text someone and invite them to join us on the Dr. Glovina Show? And I am Glovina Williams. Before we move on, I want to remind you that God knows the thoughts and the plans He has for your life. But the question remains, do you believe God? Because when we truly believe God, this belief requires action. In other words, I'm encouraging you to step out on faith. I want to remind you, this is a safe place where you can gain clarity to rebuild and possibly restructure your life and feel safe and happy while doing it. Okay, let's get started.
Buongiorno, coming live from Naples, Italy, Hallelujah Full Gospel Services would like to present to some and introduce to others our very own Bishop Glovina Harris.
On your side, when you get in the thick of it, the Lord's not contemplating, should I get on her side or should I be on his side? Listen at me, my brothers and sisters, the Lord is on your side, present tense and forever tense. The Lord is on your side. And then you can ask the question, what can man do unto me? Listen at number 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Somebody said, nobody hates me. Keep living, keep living. Listen, he says, listen, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Listen, I'm going to gaze at those that hate me. I'm just not going to glance and run. But I'm able to stand, Sister Carolyn. I'm able, Hari Amosaya. I'm able, I do speak in tongues. I'm able to stand. And look at my enemy, not just glance. Oh, let me, no, no, no. The Bible says, if you take it to the Hebrew, I'm able to gaze at my enemy. I'm able to stand right there, toe to toe, look at him and say, listen, the Lord is on my side. Hey, my God, what can man do unto me? When the Lord is on your side, you can stand bold as a lion. As one of the children sent me a beautiful card once and said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I hope somebody's listening to my tape. In the virtual audience here, I hope someone hears this, that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better for us to take refuge in Yahweh. It's better to take refuge in Jehovah than to put your trust in man. Oh my God. Listen at this. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence even in a prince. Oh my God. If I could title this message today, I would entitle it, God is on your side. Hey, my God. God is on our side. Oh, my God. Why don't you say, God is on my side? And why don't you just say, God is on your side? And God is on our side. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. You know, we've been teaching and preaching on how to trust God during the times of testing. And as life goes, we will go through tests. Life is not test-free. You will hit obstacles in life. You'll come to various points in your life, milestones, where you have to trust God. You can't trust your intellect in those times. Oh, my God. I know you're smart. I know you're intelligent. But you have to put your trust in an all-knowing God. Hey, my God. I'm knowing God. An omniscient God. A big word, for He knows everything. You have to put your trust in an all-powerful God. What an potent God and omnipresent God, one that is evenly present everywhere. Because what? We must put our trust in God during the times of testing. And our attitude, hey, stay with me, our attitude toward adversity must be one of trust in God. When we're in the thick of an adversity, we have to put our trust in God because He's on your side. Oh, my God. I don't know about you. Some of you are too young to know, but I'm going to take some of you to the old school. But when we were growing up, we used to play a game called kickball, version of soccer. We didn't have a net. We didn't have any of the material and all that to guard our knees and our elbows or helmets. But listen, we'd draw a line on the sidewalk. We'd have a captain on this side and a captain on that side. And then the captain could choose the different children in the community who they wanted on there. And they would be on their side. I want this one, I want that one. And so now you had a team. You were a captain and you had a team and you had a goal. But you had other people that were on your side. You weren't in it all by yourself. And I came to remind you this afternoon, and wherever you are listening to this tape, I came to tell you that God is on your side. I got help over here, and I'm starting to get some help over here. He's on your side. He's not, what, gathering up strength. He is the strength. He's not checking a book and checking it twice. He has you as the apple of His eye. So our attitude toward adversity is that we must realize and accept and put our arms around and embrace the fact that God is on our side. And when we do this, our past, listen, becomes a guarantee of a successful future. I'm going to say that again. When our attitude toward adversity is to know that God is on our side, then what? Our past becomes a guarantee. Ah, my God. An assurance of a successful future. It's a serious matter of life when we go through adversity. When it's all over with, we can laugh about it. But when we're going through it, I don't care what anybody says, it's not funny. When I'm going through something, listen, sometimes I'm saying, God, I'll be glad when I can laugh about this because it sure isn't funny right now. Even in the late midnight hours, when you're crying and you're tired of crying, God is still on your side. Oh, my God. Stick with me. Stick with me. It's a serious matter of life. And I pose to you the question this afternoon, do we love God with a pure, absolute love? Oh, we're talking about God being on your side and trusting Him during the time of testing. So when you're going through the trial, do you still love Him? Have you completely abandoned yourself to Him? In other words, you're forsaken all to follow Him. Hey, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask any winks or blinks. Who has abandoned all to follow Him? Oh, somebody said, Bishop, I don't know. I don't know if I'm up to that. I don't know if I'm up to snuff on that. Listen, when you join the military, you abandon all. Oh, my God. And you begin to follow the orders of those who have the rule over you. And when we Jesus, and we come into the army of the Lord, we must abandon all, oh my God, and give Him our absolute love. Come on, come on, come on, I'm getting help over here. I'm getting some help. Listen, are we convinced that God is in absolute control, or do we still think that there's someone else that has a greater power or a greater ability than God? I mean, are we absolutely convinced? Can I say without a doubt, I'm convinced that God is in absolute control. Hey, my God. He's in absolute control. I'm going to ask you another question. Is our outer circumstance an indication of our spiritual character? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Somebody's looking at me, and they're checking me out and checking me twice. Say, wait a minute. Huh? You're going through something. I guess you must have, like it was with Job. Said, listen, Job must have done something. This is what his friends said. Maybe his kids did something. Maybe Job lost his wealth, his family, his livestock, even his health, because maybe it attributes to something that his children were doing. Maybe Job had what? Some kind of secret sin. Oh, come on, come on. Maybe he was doing something no one knew about. Maybe he looked like a nice guy, but he was doing something in the background, and God saw it and began to what? Punish him for it. That's what one of his friends told him. Then another friend said, Job, no one is completely righteous. You should be glad that's all God did was take away your wealth, take away your children, take away your livestock and your health. It could have been worse. And I told you last week, nobody wants to hear it could have been worse, because nobody knows what you're going through. Sometimes, and it's no question about it, it's between you and God. It looks like other people are involved in it. It looks like other people may have caused your discomfort, or they initiated your trial. But come on now, get with me and stay with me. This thing is between you and your daddy. Hey, come on, come on. I'm getting help over here. I'm going to stay over here. Is it true that only the sinner goes through? But today I want you to focus in on this. Is there any way that our natural wisdom or our natural intellect can understand the providences of God at work in our life? Oh, Bishop, say that again. Is there any way that our wisdom, our finite intellect, as brilliant as we are, that we can understand the providences? What do you mean by providences of God? The preparation that God makes in advance, the foresight that God has concerning us, the providence of God, the management that God has of our life, the care that God has, how He's guarding over us. I'm talking about, can we really understand the providence of God? The control that God has to exercise His deity over our life and our circumstances. Can our natural wisdom comprehend and understand, and can it really get into the intricate thought patterns that we have? But can I really understand how God can direct my life, even when it looks like Satan is in control? Is there any way that my wisdom can understand that God is protecting me? Come on, come on. That God's care is manifested, is demonstrated by sometimes an unseen force. He's watching over my affairs. Say, God is in control, and God is on my side. Now quickly, turn your Bibles with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. God is with you. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is on your side. God is on your side. So until when you say that, you can stop the voices in your mind that try to accuse you. Romans, the 8th chapter. Here we're going to look at Paul. He has written a letter to the church at Rome. That's why it's called Romans. This is actually a letter. If you look at how thick this book is, it is one letter that Paul wrote to the Christians who were living at Rome. Paul is actually in Corinth. He's there in Corinth, and he's living with another Christian by the name of Gaius, and he had been there for 3 months. He's living in someone else's home, and he takes time to write a letter to Corinth. He writes the letter as an introduction because he is preparing to go to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem, he's going to go and visit the Christians in Rome. We're only a couple of hours from Rome, you know. Now, Paul was not an Italian, but he was a Roman citizen because he actually was born in Tarsus, which was located in Turkey. And Turkey was part of the Roman Empire. So as a result, Paul had the protection of the Roman law, and he had certain rights. He had freedom from torture. Come on, Glovina, what are you talking about? God is on my side. Listen, Paul had freedom from torture. My God. He had the right to trade, to barter there in Rome, and he had the right to appeal a court order. Because what? He was a Roman citizen. So he was really concerned about the churches in Rome. He had a great love for them because what? This was part of his citizenship. God is on your side. I ask you again, can your wisdom rightly comprehend, judge, or even understand the workings and the providence of God? And I'm going to add this on in someone else's life. Because let the truth be told, none of us are going through anything. It's somebody we're helping. I got help now. I'm not going through anything. I'm just helping somebody through a challenge or a trial. Bishop, I'm not going through anything. You can look at me. Check me out. I've got a nice smile on my face. Check out my Facebook. You'll see that lovely picture. Does it show any type of discomfort or trial? No. I'm helping others, Bishop. So can our wisdom rightly comprehend, judge, or even understand the workings and the providences of God in someone else's life? What are you saying, Bishop? What I'm saying is this. Can you judge a book by looking at its cover? Can you look at someone and look at their outside circumstance and judge their spiritual or their Christian character? Well, that person's Christian. Look at what they're going through. Look at what happened to them. Job knows exactly what people are talking about when they point the finger and say, listen, what did you do wrong that you're going through this? Come on. I'm not talking to anybody here. I'm talking to everybody that's going to listen to this by tape. People may, and most times do, misjudge your life. People many times don't have a clue as to who you are in God. They think they know the power that God has given you. They think they know the anointing that rests upon your life. But until they begin to interact with you, spend time with you, then they begin to see what? That there's something, oh my God, come on, Glovina, there's something deep on the inside of you that can touch something deep on the inside of them. There is a spiritual force that's working in you. Slow up, girl. You got about 15 more minutes. There's something working on the inside of you that's more awesome and more incredible than anyone could ever imagine. People may, and most times do, misjudge your life when they look at you from the outer. And especially when they see you at the darkest moments of your life. That's where the committee of they comes out. That's where the committee of they cross their legs, put their face on, and want to judge you. Come on, we're going somewhere. You're going to see just what God is going to do for us in this message today. Because God wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is on our side. They'll point their fingers at you and judge you and even blame you. We even blame ourselves. Sometimes we're going through stuff, we blame ourselves. Oh, I really was stupid to do that. But you've got to learn how to still those voices. You've got to learn how to practice it. Don't just preach it, but you have to learn how to practice these principles that the Lord is teaching us. You have have to learn how to walk in the kingdom that is unseen to the world, but you're walking in a place that's secure, praise God, and with legions of angels that are able to come to your rescue. I know I told you to turn there, but just give me a minute here. When a Christian goes through suffering, it is not retributive. Bishop, where are you getting all these big words from? It's not retributive when you go through something. In other words, it's not God paying you back for something. Get that in your mind now. When you go through something as a Christian, God is not paying you back. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth with God. Oh, my God. Listen at this. When you're going through something and you're suffering through something, or you're relating to, or something has even the nature of being retributive, God does not demand from you as a born-again believer, eye for an eye. That's the law. And now you're under the law of grace and under the law of love. Hey, my God. You're not under the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's not retributive when you're going through something. In other words, it's not payback. It's not payment. It's not punishment from God. Your trial or someone else's trial is not retributive. It's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And stop saying to yourself that God is punishing you for the things you have done wrong in your life or for the things that you have not done in your life. Can I get some help on that? Someone needs to come in agreement with me on that. Because some of us are what? The enemy, what?
Hope you have been blessed. This is the end of part one.
Hey, I want to thank you. I can't thank you enough for sticking with me through this. I'm so happy that you did. I want to say and I want to shout out to those of you who hung in there during this technical difficulty that the studio was having. So I went on and played one of my previous tapes where I had preached in Naples, Italy. So I want to say God bless you. And I want you to know that I tremendously, tremendously love you. And I want to remind you that God is on your side. And I want to shout out and say hello to my beautiful mother. Thank you for your consistency and your persistency. I want to shout out also Elder Margareta. Thank you. I want to say hi, Minister Latorsha. Thank you. Yvonne, thank you. And TLC, thank you. If I didn't call your name, it's not because I don't love you. It is just that right now we're about to sign off. So again, thank you for your love and your support. You are indeed the apple of God's eye.
Thank you. And please join me the next time on the Dr. Glovina Show. You can connect with me on my social media platforms. And until next time, love, peace, and prosperity.